Oh, this has been such a wonderful day. And we just thank God for His wonderful faithfulness. If you have your Bibles, friend, turn with me in the Word of God to the Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Would you stand as I read from the Word of the Lord? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord bless his word and the preaching of it tonight. You may be seated. There are situations in life, there are circumstances of life, there are positions in life that seem to work against a man coming into the kingdom of God. There are some people who find it seemingly very easy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. For others, it just seems a struggle all the time. There are some people who by background, who by nature, find that things open very readily for them into the kingdom. There are others who have to have a struggle, seemingly, for anything to come open for them. Zacchaeus is a case in point. Now, Zacchaeus' problem was that he was a publican. Being such, he was among the most hated men in the world of that day. There was an absolute indignation which the Jew had against the publican. And he was looked upon as the offscouring of the earth. There were several things that were pulling against Zacchaeus. First of all was his opportunity for wrongdoing. You see, there was not a set sum that the person paid to the Roman government in taxes, and Zacchaeus merely collected those taxes, unlike the IRS today. Rather, Zacchaeus himself received a portion of all the taxes he collected. Now you can imagine if a man's going to get a portion, a kickback, on all the taxes he can put on people, you can imagine how he's going to find taxes that were never there. So the opportunity for sin was very vast. And quite frankly, publicans took advantage of that. And that was one reason why they were so detested in that particular time. Not only was there an opportunity for sin, he had the reputation of being no good. And when people are stigmatized, they have a tendency to justify the stigma. In other words, they say, if nobody thinks I'm any good anyhow, I can't win anyhow, what's it going to matter? A million here, a million there, pretty soon I get in real money. And what does it matter? I don't care what I do, nobody has any confidence in me. It's not going to be any worse if I filch $1 million as if I filch a half million dollars. They consider me a horse thief in the way you look at it. So what have I got to lose? And this in itself causes a man to fall prey unto sin. So Zacchaeus certainly had these temptations at being a publican. And the Bible said that Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus was to pass that way. The Bible said that he was a man short of stature. And yet he knew that Jesus coming by that way, he had to do something. So what he did was a very childlike thing. He climbed up into a sycamore tree. Can you imagine the local IRS agent up a sycamore tree? Everybody on the ground, here's the Internal Revenue agent up a sycamore tree. But he knew something had to be done. Now what I'm saying is, folks, there are certain expedients, there are certain defenses that we have to erect against sin. And Zacchaeus was certainly one that did that. And so, as I say, he knew the Lord was coming that way. And in childlike faith, he climbed up that sycamore tree. But did you know, when all is said and done, this is where Jesus really lives. Jesus loves childlike activity. You and I would never have done that. Brother Flanagan, it's a little difficult to see me up a sycamore tree. I wait and all eyes on me. Although I will confess, when I was a young man before the Lord saved me, there was a big wrestling match in Pritchard, Alabama, where I live. And there was a big tree, which if you climb, you could look right down into the arena and wouldn't have to pay a thing. So here I am, several of us boys up a tree until the law comes along. And you can imagine we saturated the place with our absence immediately. And so I can't understand that. I still remember they had a wrestler from Texas by the name of Frankie Hill that had a sleeping hole. Now he said, if anybody doubts this, I'll be glad to give you a demonstration. A little old stupid me, I walk right on out there. And man, when I come to, I'm lying flat on that campus. My legs are, I'm flapping like an eagle's wings, flapping up and down. And so I have been up a tree, but I want to tell you, one time was enough for me. But Jesus loved this childlike action of Zacchaeus. And it's a thing that caused him to do things for people. You see, the proud don't enter the kingdom of God. The know-it-all never makes it. It's a man that recognizes if God doesn't help him, it's not going to get done that Jesus ministers unto. Am I talking to somebody tonight? You feel that you have reached the end of your tether. You feel that you've been painted into a corner. You feel that you're down and out. You feel that all your ingenuity, all your planning is not going to work, that God's Son alone has to help you. I've got good news for you. Jesus loves that kind of attitude. The more childlike you are, the more the Son of God will minister unto your needs. Jesus loves Zacchaeus for doing that. Now, Zacchaeus was up the sycamore tree, and Jesus passes by. And to everybody's utter amazement, Jesus stops and addresses Zacchaeus up that sycamore tree. And you can imagine the murmuring that started among the Pharisees when the Son of God did that. But Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down, for I'm going to abide at your house. And this was an incredible thing. The people just couldn't understand that. Out of all of the people in that crowd, it was Zacchaeus to whom the Son of God made that statement. And the Pharisees murmured and they said, did you hear what we heard? Have you ever heard such a thing? He's actually not only addressing a sinner, he's saying he wants to go home and eat with a sinner. And they were terribly offended at this action on the part of the Son of God. You see, when you stigmatize a person, you ruin a person. Zacchaeus' great struggle was he was stigmatized. People said he's no good. Mothers stole their children. Whatever you do, don't you grow up to be a tax collector. Whatever you do, I don't want my boy in that profession. You were stigmatized to be a tax collector in that day. And when men are stigmatized, tragically, many people fulfill the very lack of confidence in them. You hear your preacher, and you hear him well. When I tell you to stigmatize is to ruin. If you want to ruin a man, then stigmatize him. If you want a man to act no good, then forever tell him he is no good. A parent, if you want your child to be ruined, tell them they're no good, and they'll take you at your word. God help us. When you stigmatize, you ruin. I remember I was the principal of a Christian school in Florida, and there was a mother who came to my office, and I brought her in because her son had falsified some information. And right there before him, she said, "He is a liar." And just absolutely humiliated her son, just a little boy, actually. And I said, now, I want to say something. I said, no. I said, your son is not a liar. Your son told a lie. There is a difference. I said, you are stigmatizing your son. You're making your son believe that he is a liar. Your son told a lie. Your son is not a liar. And I trust that I was able to help her, because otherwise that child would have grown up thinking, my mother thinks I'm a liar. Well, maybe I am a liar. There's a difference in telling a lie and being a liar. And so there is a difference then in being a tax collector and in being an ungodly sinner that you may be portrayed to be. And this was a thing that was such a thorn in the side to Zacchaeus. Nobody had any confidence in him, until he met one person whose name was Jesus Christ. Hear me, friend. Man no longer may have any confidence in you. Man may stigmatize you. Man may say you're no good. Man may say I've lost all confidence in you. But there is one who still loves you. There is one who still believes you have potential. There is one who still says, I'll come into your home. I'll abide with you. I'll sup with you. There's one who can still change you by the wonderful grace of God. And when Zacchaeus saw at last, he had found somebody that loved him. At last, he had found somebody that cared. At last, he had found somebody who, amazingly, great man though he was, had singled him out. Out of all the people in that congregation, he singled him out. Then it changed Zacchaeus completely. Ah, because Jesus really identified with Zacchaeus. You and I know so little about identifying with people, but Jesus really knew how to identify with people, never compromising in doing so. Now, if it had been you and me, we wouldn't have done it as Jesus did. You know why? Reputation. But you know what Jesus did concerning reputation? Who made of himself no reputation. Reputation was never a determining factor with the Son of God. When a man is secure, he has nothing to hide. When a man lives right, he doesn't have to go through some false stage. Jesus Christ, being totally pure, was not concerned about reputation. Listen, child of God, you take care of your character and God will take care of your reputation. Remember that. You take care of your character, God will take care of your reputation. Jesus Christ was not afraid of what the Pharisees were going to say, because the Son of Man had come to seek and to save the lost. And here is one wonderful way of proving it. And when Zacchaeus had Jesus identify with him, this hardened man, sinner though he was, said, Lord, I'm just so overwhelmed. He said, Lord, I'll tell you what. If I have wronged any man, I restore him fourfold. And he said, Lord, I give half my goods to feed the poor. Now, this can be interpreted two ways. It can be interpreted that what Zacchaeus was saying was, Lord, now that you have forgiven me, I want to make restitution. And I believe that salvation is not complete until we make restitution. God does send us back to make some things right. There are some things that we've done before God forgave us, we have to make right if it's in our power to do so. And restitution is one of the great teachings of the Word of God. And it may well be the case that Zacchaeus is saying, Lord, now that salvation has come to my house, now that you yourself have admitted I'm a son of Abraham, now that your grace has reached me where I've wronged a man, I'm going to restore him fourfold, and I'm going to give half my goods to feed the poor. But then it can also be interpreted a second way. And I rather think this is what Zacchaeus is saying. It can be present tense. Lord, if I have wronged any man, I restore him fourfold. If I give half my goods to feed the poor. In other words, that's my policy. If I wrong a man, I restore him fourfold. I give half my goods to the poor. I recognize I'm a publican. I recognize that the people don't have any confidence in me. I recognize the opportunities I have to sin. I recognize the hardness my heart could become because I think, well, if that's what they think about me, I might as well justify their confidence. I recognize all that. But Lord, I have made it my policy. I have set up two expedients that have kept me. And namely, if I ever wrong a man, I restore him fourfold. And I habitually give half my goods to feed the poor. I'm not the charlatan. I'm not the snake. I'm not the nothing that people say I am. But Lord, in all my life, you're the first man who's ever looked at me and really meant it and communicated to me, even a publican is worth saving. I submit unto you, child of God, that's what broke his heart. That's what broke him down. When the Son of God himself looked at him and said, Zacchaeus, come down. He was saying, Zacchaeus, others may say you are a charlatan. Others may have lost confidence in you. But I see something in you worth saving. And when Zacchaeus had that zing him, it was more than he could tolerate. And he surrendered completely to the Son of the living God. Ah, friend, tonight I want to tell you, Jesus Christ also sees something in you that is worth saving. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe sin has blasted your life. Maybe sin has blasted your home. Maybe you have been brought low. Maybe you're miserable. Maybe you press that pillow at night, unable to sleep because you know you've wronged your God. You've wronged your fellow man. You may have wronged your wife. You may have wronged your husband. And you just think, is there any help for me? I want to tell you, the one that saw in Zacchaeus something worth redeeming also looks at you tonight and he says, you are worth saving. And he will save you. Salvation will come to your house. You yourself can be transformed by the wonderful grace of God. And the same Lord that ministered to Zacchaeus about 2,000 years ago will likewise minister to you. And you will come into this wonderful, glorious reality of sins forgiven, heir of God, joint heir with his Son, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and made somebody in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Yes, dynamite comes in small packages when God Almighty is able to take that life and put in it the resources of heaven, the dynamite of the Spirit, the wonderful, glorious ingredient of grace, and make you what you ought to be in the presence of Almighty God. So I'm going to ask you tonight, if you're here Zacchaeus-like and you need him, I want you to come to him. He, just as surely as he honored this childlike act of Zacchaeus. Whoever heard of a publican up a sycamore tree? Whoever heard of that? Just as that childlike faith is what made Jesus touch the life of Zacchaeus. that childlike dependence on Him tonight, that recognition that your sins cannot be removed by yourself, but only He can help you, will be the very thing He will use, as He did for Zacchaeus, and change you and transform you by the grace of God. And then spiritually, you will be dynamite, whatever your external package may be tonight. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, my, the Holy Spirit of God has gripped this service tonight. I'm wondering how many are here this evening. You need forgiveness. You need pardon. You need peace with God. You need to have your life changed. You need the grace of God to come into your soul. And you want prayer that God will help you wipe out your past, make you a child of God, give you peace and joy, send you out of this sanctuary rejoicing tonight, the happiest person in New Orleans, Louisiana. If you're here and you need help, you need your sins forgiven, and like Zacchaeus, you want to become a child of God. Like Zacchaeus, you want Him to speak peace to your soul. Would you slip up your hand right now? And by doing so, say, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, how many more? God is. God bless you, and God bless these that have lifted their hands tonight. Are there others? Are there others? Just slip up your hand. Yes, God bless you on the back. Thank you kindly. And God bless you, sir. You may put your hands down once you've lifted them. How many more of you? You want prayer that Christ will change you. God bless you, honey. Thank you kindly. Are there others? You want Christ to come in your life tonight. You want to be changed. You're tired of being fettered by sin, miserable now, and eternity in hell to come. And you want God's Son to help you. Just keep lifting your hands. If you're here without Him, I'll be happy to include you in this prayer. Are there others before we pray? Hallelujah. God bless you, honey. God bless this little boy. Thank you kindly. Hallelujah. All right, how many are here? And you will say, I'm saved, but I need God to minister to me tonight. Pastor Brown, you had prayer, special prayers, the Holy Spirit directed you sovereignly earlier in the service. For those who had fear, I didn't come because I don't feel through the goodness of God that I especially have any problem with fear. But I need my body healed. I need to be healed in my mind, in my heart. I've had sorrow. I've had tragedy. I've got to have God to help me. I've got to have physical healing. I've got to have mental healing. I've got to have social healing. And I want you to pray that God will touch me tonight and bring healing to me and my family and my life. Whatever your case may be, would you slip your hand and say, remember me in prayer? God bless you, friends. God bless you. I want everybody to stand. Please keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Oh, there's such a beautiful spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is just touching this service right now. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, friends, who lifted your hands, signifying you are a sinner and you want Christ to come in your life. You want prayer. I'm going to pray for you now. And after I do so, I want you to come to God's altar, and we're going to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father and our God, I thank Thee for these precious people who in the fear of God have lifted their hands, that they are sinners, that they need their sins forgiven. Oh God, I pray this very night the Lord of glory shall come into their lives. Save them by Thy grace, and we'll thank Thee for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you that want Christ...